This is the Easy Like Sunday Morning podcast.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to another episode on the Easy Like Sunday Morning podcast. My name is Izni Zara, and I have my very amazing friend with me, El Shaka.
Apparently.
Did you say apparently?
Apparently.
You guys have seen him before on the podcast. You know, he has so many insightful nuggets for us. But today, we're just going to be gisting and catching up like we normally do.
I like the way you emphasize on gisting. As if something else was going to happen.
Because I think that people don't know that. Okay, this is even random. But I remember I was having a conversation with someone last week. And they were telling me like, oh, I didn't know that you were like so funny. Because I just feel like when people are always talking about God, like, every time that you talk to them, they have to be talking about God, or they are so serious. But then, you know, sometimes I just think about the kind of convos that we have and how we're all just laughing and gisting. And I just think to myself that, I wish, you know, people could really just hear it. So that's what I was just like, I'm just going to just mention it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you guys are going to have a sneak peek into what it's like. But yeah, I have a question from someone that I want to read to you. Mm. Yeah, and then we're just going to go from there. So the question says, hi, Izini. There's something I need advice about. Please keep me anonymous. When I was in uni, I got involved with some girls who provided a way for me to take care of myself and put myself through school. I'm not proud of the things I had to do, but I wanted to survive. My father is dead, and my mother could barely take care of us. We are five children. She was a teacher in a public school. I started going out with a lot of my friends and hanging out with men at events, parties, and clubs. Sometimes they paid us a fee, and if we went home with a man, we earned more. The first time a man took me home, I was paid 40,000 naira, and this was a lot of money at that time. I continued working my way through, and after a few years, I was not only able to graduate from school, but I acquired the life I have always wanted for myself and my family. Recently, I gave my life to Christ and started going to church. Deep down, I have always known that sleeping with men for money is wrong, but I felt that I had no choice and I did not want my family to continue suffering. I have tried to stop this, but it has been hard for me, and I find myself running back to this life again and again. I don't know what to do. I want to follow God, but I'm afraid of giving up this lifestyle and suffering all over again. What do you think I should do, and why am I so weak? Sorry that I'm laughing. It's not a funny dilemma.
It's not.
I'm just laughing to kind of, I guess, diffuse
the question.
Yeah, it's quite heavy, actually.
Mm.
Okay, so I know that you have, not that you've had a similar experience, but I know that you've shared with us about how, you know, you had to give up a particular lifestyle that you had after you got saved. So you also run us back to rookie baby.
Oh, rookie baby.
Run us back and be.
Man, that's a wild one.
Yeah.
So I mean like college. Like college is crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember my first day of college, the dean of my school, he gave me a piece of paper, and he was like, do you feel like, so he said, everyone write yes or no.
Mm.
He said, do you feel like, you know, all of a sudden I'm in a new country, my parents not here, money's not an issue and everything. And then, so like, almost like a psychological question. Everyone was like, yes, because like, for the first time, you know, you have to worry about your bills, lights, stuff that you probably never did, you know, growing up in the shelter of your home, you know. So there are a lot of, that's where reality of life hits you first, especially when you go to school outside of your country and everything. Let's just say that when I got to school, you know, in my reflection, I had what I would call a very low self-esteem, to be honest.
Mm.
And I didn't know that then.
Yeah.
I'm doing that now in my reflection, seeing why I was easily influenced by a lot of things. Because, I mean, why would a lifestyle that I knew that was not really, well, that was contrary to the way I was raised, why would it feel so attractive to me if I didn't feel like, you know, pleasing certain people would, you know, make me feel validated, you know. So I had some friends then who were living this, you know, life and everything. And almost like, you know, it's not like anyone pressured me per se, but it's just that
wanted to have a sense of like
belonging with the wrong people. I think that's a good highlight, you know, the sense of belonging with the wrong people, you know. Because assuming they were holy people, quote unquote.
It's a good pressure.
It's a good pressure. Let me. I need that kind of pressure in my life.
Yeah. You know?
So that pressure of, man, you're darling, you know, and to be told, already before even coming to Dubai, I was already a bit, you know, falling to the left and everything. But when I got there, you know, like, I remember, first of all, when I got to Dubai, actually, God told me to fast for 21 days. I should have. If I told me fast, I'd stay away from everybody. The second day I landed there, I went to go see some of my friends. I can't forget that day. That day, they brought like 5 or 6 girls from different parts of the world. I was like, Jesus, I'm not kidding.
Wow.
I was like, wow. That was the beginning of the end, you know. And yeah, I don't even know how I just evolved, you know, because once you just, and plus, I mean, because I live with someone, we had an apartment together. So when you are living with someone and all the friends that come around are all about this kind of life, it's only a matter of time before it rubs off on you. And then appetites that you didn't have before, you start to have them. So all of a sudden, this is me who I didn't even see drink for, and I'm always trying to go to the club. Oh, who's the new girl? This girl, all that. So yeah, that's about that life, just that playboy life, party life, you know, going for all kinds of, you know, things and everything. And then of course, Dubai is a very materialistic city. So like, if you don't have money, you're nobody. That's the way the energy is there. So like, I mean, you have having classmates that have private jets personally.
Whoa.
Yes, like you see the parking lot of my school, like see Bugattis, Ferraris, like, so it's like, and they're like, if you don't have any of these things, man, don't even talk here. So it's like a society where, man, if you don't have money, just shut up, you know. And it's so interesting around that time, that song, if you don't get money, hide your face, you know.
Oh, fair enough.
All those kind of songs, yeah. It seems so simple, but like,
but they are passing a message,
very wicked message, actually. That's true, because now you have a lot of young people who are overly pressured. I mean, a 19-year-old, how much money can you really have at 19? And you know, I think that pressure is a deception, because life is supposed to go in levels and stages. Yeah. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, we it's important to just really count the cost, you know, because at the end of the day, whatever we do, the check will still come sooner or later, you know, it will always come, right? And oftentimes, you know, it's like going to a very fancy restaurant, you know, you go, you take all your picture, everything. But you forget that Omo, this restaurant, the bill is 80,000. You know, like, so we need to know that Omo, because I mean, if you go to the restaurant normally, like, if I go to the restaurant, I've already scanned, even with people, I've scanned the home, so I know what's there. No, bill doesn't ever shock me, actually. Yes, it doesn't shock, because I've already, so I might talk like, oh yeah, this, but you don't know that in my head, I've already calculated everything, so I know what I'm expecting. So I've never really caught off guard when it comes to bill, right? But yeah, sometimes we just like restaurant, don't go to restaurant, say, give me red snapper, give me lobster thermidor. You have no fear, so they call it. Next thing, 100k will come, you see?
Yeah.
Well, you know, and yeah, life is, you know, pretty much like that. When, you know, what's the cost of, you know, what I'm about to do, you know? And that's a question we have to always ask ourselves. And, you know, for example, the Bible talks about how, what does it cost a person to gain the whole world if you lose your soul? And that statement can, you know, really apply to almost everything. For me, I don't really think I counted the cost there. I did a lot of crazy stuff, actually. I mean, because at the end of the day, guys and girls have...
The dynamic is different.
Yes, it's different, but it's the same. Oh. It's still... So girls, you have more of like what she talked about, how, you know, go with men for money and everything. That's girls to get money. But guys, to get money is always some kind of...
Funny.
Yes, criminal stuff, to be honest. But whether you are doing it directly or you're doing it indirectly, is always going to be involved somewhere, somehow.
So, were there moments after you went through all of this and you now said, okay, you know what, I'm done with this life, I want to follow God, that you started following God, but then you found, you know, yourself sort of slipping back or looking back or feeling like, you know, see how my life is turning out?
Yeah. I mean, in 2017 was when I started coming back. 2017, I came to Lagos for summer. And then I went to a particular church, and just being in that church setting after such a long time, I started getting convicted. I started praying again. I started reading my Bible again. But all that started when I was in Lagos. But when I was in Lagos, I was just afraid that, my goodness, I'm still going to go back to Dubai. I have a whole life in Dubai that is built around iniquity, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Everything about my life, it's filled by wrong things. So for me to even live and have a life, I need to, you know, when you've built your life around everything that is wrong, for you to remove those things, your whole life crumbles. So like, oh my God, I'm going to go back there. You know, so I remember I went back to Dubai September, that 2017. And I think for about a month I was at home, you know, I didn't go anywhere, I didn't talk to anybody and anything, you know. And one night, someone messaged me, oh, come for this party. I knew nothing would happen there, it was just a busy party, but God was telling me, don't go.
Right, because, like, that's the door.
That's the door, because nothing will have happened in that day, but you have initiated something that is going to continue. So let me just go ahead as I went. And as I went for another one, and before I knew it,
yeah, back.
I was back.
Yeah.
But actually, because I had spent that time in Nigeria, there was now a wrestling in me that was not there before. So there was that wrestling, you know. So even when I would mess around, I would still be very troubled and pain I never felt. So fast forward into 2018, you know. 2018, it got really wild, you know, and then a lot of money was now made, you know, so it was not like even much harder to, you know, to walk away, you know, and getting very used to the life and, you know, just that playboy life and everything. And then a time came when God arrested me.
How did that happen? Can you tell us about it?
So I entered into a very interesting relationship, put it like that, right?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you have to hit something that is more than you.
Yeah.
To know that.
So cry for help.
Yes. You know, you have to meet something that is. So I met someone who was just like me.
Mm.
My God.
Yeah.
Seeing that head on, it was wow.
Yeah.
Very, very materialistic, very, and you know, it's almost as if we've just pulled ourselves together, and boy, it was toxic. And there's not a word to use to define it. It was very, very poisonous. I mean, we both killed ourselves, to be honest. You know, it was terrible. And after a while, we were able to. Well, I chose to leave.
How did God read out of that?
So we used to quarrel a lot, actually, and we used to break up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But then. Just came back. Yeah. That very funny cycle. So there's a particular time when we broke up, and then I just said, you know what? I'm done, actually. You know, I'm actually done with this. And then this was on a Friday. So I knew that obviously, you know, the way it happened is that, oh, maybe she'll say, oh, I'm done, okay, no problem. I knew that, oh, the next day she's going to just, you know how sometimes someone talks when they're ahead. But this time I said, you know what? I'm actually done, because I knew that she said on Friday, but Saturday she's going to come back in the morning. So on that Friday, between Friday and Saturday, I think I even spoke with my sister or something like that. I think that helped, because just hearing, just someone to even remind you a bit of where you're coming from, you know. So it gave me a little bit of strength to say, actually, I'm done with this. So by the time she came back on Saturday night, I had already made up my mind. But she thought it was a joke. So I blocked her. And I blocked her on that Saturday. And then Sunday came, Monday came. She was like, my God, is this really happening? But between that Saturday and Monday, I started hearing God again after a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he started telling me, if you want to reconnect to me, you have to disconnect from everything.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what does this mean? How is that going to look like, you know? But I said, okay, let me go ahead. So I remember that Monday, some old teachers I used to listen to, I just started to play them in my living room.
Can you share who those teachers
are? One person called Bob Taranjo. It's very unknown, very, very, very advanced. So if you say his YouTube, his views are like maybe 80 views, you know, but it was a teacher that his writings really helped me, you know, and I just started watching his videos again, and I just started watching it every day, you know. So it was just like a saturation of my heart, you know. So at that time, because I had a lot of friends, you know, I was very, very like a street king, to be honest. I was so popular in Dubai. So like Oh, every weekend they know that, okay, where's Ricky? Like, you know, like, because you understand, because those days, if it's for girls, I'm born, I'll be getting all the girls to the party. It's like, ah, Ricky, where are you? Like, so a week, I mean, maybe just a week, no one really saying it, but like 2 weeks missing, everybody's saying, Ricky, how far? What's good? I've not heard from you and everything. Go to me, block everybody.
Wow.
Yeah, block everybody, you know. Block my friends. I had a very best friend at the time who we did everything together. In fact, it didn't pass that we didn't speak. Like, we spoke every day. And that was probably the hardest one, actually. I blocked him. He was so hurt. He had to send me a mail. He couldn't believe it. He said, how can you do this? Like, what? Like, you know, like, it was like, no, you actually, he's not homosexual, but like, he's a deeply intimate relationship. That to block me is like, how can you, like, what could I have done to...
That we can't talk about.
Like, what did I do to deserve this, you know? Also, you knew that I was reconnecting with God. It's almost like, are you trying to say I'm the devil in your life? Like, you know, like...
You know what this even, you know, reminds me of? I don't know whether I you know, shared this with you about how one day I was in just, you know, meditating on that scripture that anyone who loves father or mother than me is not worthy of me. And then it just hit me, like God just spoke. I was just like, if at any point in time, it hangs in the balance, like you have to pick between God and somebody, and you pick somebody else, you've loved that person more than God.
Yes.
And God took it, you know, step, you know, further, and started telling me that in this world, there are many things that people, you know, justify. Okay, so for instance, if someone's parent is in the hospital and they're sick and they're dying, and somebody comes and says, I'm going to give you money to have sex with me, you do this, and I would, you know, oh, I'm going to give you money to sleep, you know, with me, and then, you know, you can help your parent that is dying, you know, whatever. And you're like, well, I've been praying. It doesn't seem like God is answering me. Let me take this route. And you do that. You pay for that thing with the money that you've gotten. You've loved your parents more than you love God. And it's a hard teaching, or it's a hard thing to say, because we especially live in a time where people are very, but God must, you know, understand that I had no other choice, or that this is what I had to do. But it's like God is constantly watching to see who we choose in our day-to-day lives. So sorry, God.
No, it's so good, because like one thing I've come to realize is that you can't separate God from God's values.
Mm-hmm.
They're not different. They are the same. God is his values. Mm, God is his laws.
Yeah.
Once you talk about God, you begin to talk about laws.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the moment God starts to talk to you, he starts to give you law.
Mm.
Because God himself is law.
Mm.
You can't be close to God without being close to law.
Mm.
And when we talk about, you know, loving father, mother over God, it's loving father, mother over love, over patience, over forgiveness, over self-control, because all those attributes make up what God is.
I think it's also the, you know, teachings that we hear, you know, a lot now, that like, if you're following God, the, you know, reward for following God is long life and peace and, you know, joy. Well, yes, it's long life and peace and joy, but more like people are expecting to never have any bad thing happen to them. So it's almost like, okay, if I say I'm going to stop doing this lifestyle, then I'm expecting that God will now, you know, maybe, you know, reward me with some job that will now be paying me like $100,000. And I'm like, oh, see why it pays to follow God. It's like you feel like you don't need to feel any pain in between the process of both choices. So I just want you to, like, you know, take us through, like, how was it, like, you know, transitioning from that place where you had like so much money to where God is like cut everybody off?
It was hell. No, there's no missing words. You know, it was hell.
It was like, it just hit you like, wait, that was hard.
I cried more than I ever cried in my life. And let me tell you, you know, like, you don't want to think that, you know, when one obeys God, then all of a sudden, oh, money, like, hunger. You know what you call compulsive fasting, where you fast not because you want to fast, but you're just taking advantage of your hunger and say, let this hunger not waste.
I can't relate.
Let this hunger not waste. Let's just turn it something spiritual. Hunger finish me. You know, like, because Not only did it make me cut off from my friends, a morning came when, and those days, I prided in my clothes, my shoes, yeah, my properties, my watches. So, like, I had shoes up to the ceiling. I love them. Look at, I would just be talking in my head. I'm like, damn, look at that. This is Gucci. Wow. This is Dolce & Gabbana. This is Louis Lehman. I said, yeah, I'm the man. I'm not kidding. That's before I was sleeping. I look at all my shoes. I said, damn.
Wow.
I said, yeah, two stacks. I need to put one, the third stack to the roof. I'm telling you, this is because the world I was around, that was normal. Mm. It was very materialistic. People would go on the Snapchat, they would show all their shoes. Some people had shoes like 8 stacks to the ceiling. So it was like, yeah, that's like, so I was like, yeah, I'm catching up. I have some people I'm going to catch up. So it was kind of rubbish. So I remember one morning, I was listening to that Bob Tarangio. He was just, because at that point, he just lost his wife. So he was just playing on the guitar and just singing and just crying and just talking about how, Lord, I release, you know, I release myself unto you, I release everything unto you. And in that moment, God just started to just speak to me and said, I want you to let go of everything. I want you to give away all these, you know, properties. Well, at that point, he didn't tell me how much I was supposed to give. He just told me, go and call your friends and tell them to come to your room and begin to pick up your clothes, your shoes. You know, I wonder when I went to there, because they knew me. They didn't have rookie and his stuff. Like, you don't play with me and my. Let's see, you guys come and say, they had someone even touch my neck. Like, I say, are you okay? I said, come. I remember that day, I said this story a few times. You know, I called him to my room, you know, and I had a person who lived in my house. You know, his name was Bobby. Like, we shared the apartment together. I had these very nice slippers, these Hermes slippers that it was my best out of everything I had. The color was very rare and it just goes with every outfit. That was the first thing Bobby picked.
He grabbed it. He said, before you come back to your senses, I'm out.
He just picked it. I kid you. That was when something died inside. As he picked it, I just fainted on my bed. I'm not lying. I just didn't cry, dude. That boy was a wicked boy. As I was crying, he didn't feel me. He just looked at me and said, It was the other boys in the room that when they saw me cry, they started to feel bad. He said, Rookie, we cannot take this. So I was just crying. I just looked at them. I said, if you don't take it, you will help me. Please just take everything. You will help me. So they entered. They were just taking things, taking my shirts, taking my shoes, taking perfumes. You know, I was just crying. You know, they were not asking me, why are you doing this? I said, listen, I know where I came from. You don't know where I came from. Mm. And for me to go back to where I came from, this cannot go with me. Mm. You know, so they left. Mm. But when they left, there was just so much. I said, like, almost 20 shoes or something like that. You know, I still had full of clothes, very expensive clothes. And God, so I thought, okay, God, I've obeyed you. So at least the remaining that is here is for me. So I thought.
Wow.
I woke up the next morning. God told me, as many as can fit in your suitcase, fill your suitcase, go into the street, go, there's a mosque opposite your house. All the laborers, those bricklayers, can be given to them.
Stop.
I'm telling you, in broad daylight. I put everything inside. We're just picking.
How did you receive the strength to, you know, obey God?
You see, when God speaks, God gives empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
His word also comes with empowerment. His my words are spirit and they are life.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not just telling you do it. There is an energy that is behind his instruction. That's if God instructs you, there's an energy behind it. But you will not know the energy until you obey.
Mm-hmm.
If you spend time thinking, how will I do it? You will never know that there has been supply.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible talks about how we have received enabling grace that gives us abundance for every good work. That's God's grace, that for every good work you want to do, there is enablement. For example, the Bible says that God gives grace to the humble. So if you want to be humble, there's grace given to you to enable your humility. So in that moment, there was grace given to carry it out, because left to me, I don't know how. You know, the grace was so much that when they had carried everything, I had like maybe 3 or 4 shirts left. I was ready to give that. I have only one piece of clothing. I'm telling you, I was that ready. I don't know that strength. I didn't know they had like one slippers and one shoe like that. I said, wow. The moment that happened, let me just say the heavens opened. encounters like never before, hearing God like never before, because all those things were idols. And so long as they were there, I could not love God. I could not walk with God. It's a lie. Because the Bible talks about friendship with God and the world.
And unity with the world.
Yes, you can't be friend with God and friend with the world. It won't work. They're enemies. They're against one another, you know. And it's not as if there's anything wrong with having... I look nice, though. It's not like there's anything wrong with having nice things. But once it gets to a point where it's now... become a slave master.
Yeah.
It's now an issue. And we will know when things are slave masters.
Yeah. I think when things are slave masters is when they drive you to do things you don't want to.
Yes. Then you know it's a slave master.
In this instance, like this thing is driving you to sleep with men, but you don't want to do it, but it's driving you.
Yes. Because you are breaking the laws of your own conscience. That's the truth. Everyone has laws of their own conscience. And at some point they said, I'll never do this. And you know, even forget about even what the Bible says. Some of us, we know what even in our heart, even without Bible, that I won't do this. And we break the law of our conscience. Whatever can make us break the law of our conscience tells us that that thing is a slave master. So there's this passage in the Bible where Jesus Christ talks about how if someone takes your tunic, give them another one. On the surface, it looks as if that, oh, God is telling you, oh, allow people to cheat you. But that's not the same. He's saying that if someone takes your tunic from you, and in the bid to collect your tunic back, you are willing to sin, it's better you give them another tunic than to lose your soul in the process of claiming what you feel is yours. So, for example, now, in the name of, you know, maybe someone owes you money or something, you now call them, you are a bastard, God upon you. You just do things that stain your soul. You have actually lost more. Because that you lost in the process of gaining your thing back is worth more than that money you want to collect back from the person. So in that instance, it's better actually that one is lost than for you to lose the thing that is most valuable and it's harder to gain back.
Yeah, you know, as you were even talking, like what was just even ringing in my head is all this like African magic movies we used to watch then, how like somebody would do jazz to get like a lot of money and then let's say they'll now, you know, decide that, oh, they want to follow God, they're not doing this anymore. All of a sudden a strange fire will just catch all their properties. Everything will just vanish. Like it will be like they are starting all over, you know, again. And you know, as I'm listening to your story and just hearing what it is that you're sharing, what is running through my mind is like, oh, God was stripping away all those things that were never supposed to be part of your story, so to speak. You know, it's almost like he's taking you back to, okay, let's start from where you should have started from. You know, give all these false things, you know, away. You've just been wasting time picking them. Not like God can't add that, because I mean, this story you're telling is still, you know, useful now, but it's like all those things, you have to give them away and start all over, you know, again. So I think that's what is just in my mind, because I think that a lot of people believe that, okay, even if I have come to God, I can still carry all these things from where I was and still be trying to follow God. But I'm reminded of Zacchaeus. I think it was him who was a tax collector. Jesus came to his house and spoke with him, and after speaking with him, he was like, I have been cheating these people. I'm going to give back 4 times what I have taken. So it's almost like he was trying to even dispense all of his wealth. So, okay, let me start all over again. And I think that that would be so great for any other person that is in this kind of, you know, situation to not be scared of suffering. Because I think there's also that thing of, if God really loves me, I should be going from glory to glory. Or let's say you don't even want your old friends to see you and be like, I thought you said that you're not following Jesus. Look at you. Look at how you look. Is this the Jesus that you're following? So I even wanted to ask you, you know, about that. Did you ever run into people that used to know you and then maybe they're like, I thought you said that you're following God. Look at you. That kind of thing.
That's a very deep question, because you know, at that time I never even been on the bus my whole time in Dubai. In fact, people that were taking bus, I look at these suffering people. I'm dead serious. Look at me. I remember the first day I entered, but I sat down, I was cold at the back. I was afraid. I said, God, would they see me like this? That's the one day after school, I was standing at the bus stop waiting for bus in the hot Middle Eastern sun. what girl I used to talk to before. She doesn't. Oh,
really? Let's say she drove by.
She didn't just drive by. She actually parked and said, oh, don't wait in the sun. Let me give you a lift to home. Ah. I think I died.
Oh my goodness. But you know, do you know what is funny? I love that you keep saying, you know, I died. Because I think like there's so much dying that has to
happen. That was too much, actually. It was too much.
Oh my goodness.
It was too much. You know. But every death was a rebirth of the true qualities of God inside of me. It was a deliverance. Because again, it's not like those things were bad, but my attachment to them were bad. And that's why they had to go. When Jesus Christ told the rich man to give away his stuff, it's not that the stuff were bad. The what was bad was his attachment. And so long as his heart was in those things were going to be an obstacle. Because the truth is, God actually wants us to have, in fact, God wants everyone to have abundance. That's where God made man, for man to have abundance. But God doesn't want abundance to have man. Mm. That's the difference. When abundance begins to move you, control you, drive you. Now, when God sees that that is a reality, that's when he brings shortage.
Mm.
And the stories of people who maybe they did jazz and then everything burnt is actually God's mercy.
Yes.
Because if I did not, by the obedience, give away all those stuff, they would have left either way. Mm. Because anything that is acquired through evil can only be kept through evil.
Mm.
That's the truth. That's just true. And not just that, it can only be kept through greater evil.
Wow.
So you have to keep on doing even more of the evil to keep that.
Wow.
And the same thing, everything acquired through righteousness has to be kept through even greater righteousness. So you find that the righteousness you had of last year is not enough to sustain your life of this year. You need even more. Another life is, God didn't make anybody to be static, whether static in good or static in evil. And you find the day you say you want to follow God, but you still want to keep things that were procured through evil, you find that you have no choice but to go back to evil. Because that evil gain can only be kept through evil deeds.
And so, basically, we have to start all over again.
Some people, that's the reality. Especially if your how you gain money was through, you know, bad means. So, you know, whether it's, you know, from selling the body or from scamming people or anything or drugs.
You know what just hits me now as you were talking? What just hits me is like, I'm just feeling so, you know, overwhelmed. Mm. Like, wow, God, thank you. What just hits me is that, you know how you see people doing evil, but then it seems like they're having success. But I mean, it might look like, but I'm working so hard, but I'm not having success. It just hits me now that what might look like success is actually a prison that Satan is building for people. So that if they ever want to follow God or they ever want to change their mind, they are now imprisoned by the evil that they've done. Since they need to continue in sin or, you know, continue in evil to keep up, you know, all those things. It's like, but I've been working for like 7 years or 10 years, you know. It's kind of funny, it's kind of why like Jacob couldn't let, you know, Rachel go, because like I already worked 7 years. I just need to just continue working that 7 years. I can't just leave it and go. So, you know, I think that is a bigger prison. And then those of us who are now following God, it can now look like, our growth is slower or is not as great, because God is not just interested in giving us things. He wants us to have the character to stay there. Yes. So it's not just about rising, it's about also staying there and staying there with peace of mind. Because, you know, people can rise or they can have things or have wealth or have all of the, you know, supposed good things of this world, but there's no peace. They are always scared. They are moving around with, you know, police and this and that. And, you know, there's just lack of ease, basically, in that home. And, you know, there's this thing about when you do evil, you are scared that people will do evil to, you know, to you too. So even with your kids, you are not even just able to live in just peace. Do you understand? So, yeah, it just hits me, like, immediately. Like, that's why Jesus actually said, like, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Because when I used to hear that scripture, I used to be like, why did Jesus say it? It's so obvious. Like, what does it profit a man? Why are you saying it? But now I truly get it. Like, if I had 5 million naira or 10 million naira that I have, painstakingly earned through evil, and somebody telling me to give it all up just to save my soul that I can't see. I might be like, I don't think I'm ready, or maybe I'll do it, you know, later, and then you die. So it's like, what did it profit you if you gain what looked like the world to you, but at the end of the day, it cost you your, you know, soul. So yeah.
And it's good to even say that, because, like, for example, now, if you even want to just give the word evil so that it's not like, you know, too, you know, religious, for example. Mm. So, for example, now, let's look at this case now of, you know, going with men for money, you know. Let's just even leave religion and Bible aside, even though that's still very much there, but there are some days when there's a way that, because at the end of the day, every woman wants to be loved, seen, you know, receive affection. You can't tell me that one day someone, the way they treated you will make you feel like, ah, but come on. There will be days like that when some days are better than others, where, you know, even though the guy is giving money, it's so sweet, but there's somewhere it's almost like you are not worth anything. Like, please, I've already paid, just do what I need and get out. Like, those kind of, it's those moments you realize, but actually, even people who do fraud, for example, I know they will be happy they can buy their house, and everybody, some days when, you know, maybe the person they scam will send a picture of the real damage. I was in an Uber once, and the guy talked about how he was in a car. He was driving some boys, three boys. And in that car, one of the boys was talking to like a person they just scammed in some other country. And the person was begging the boy, saying, please, please, this money didn't even belong to me. It's for the company I work for. Mm-hmm. He not only did he take my life savings, he also took something that it will ruin my life. Please, if you don't give me it, I will die. Wow. He was telling me, he was begging me. The boy said, there's nothing I can do. On the phone there, the man shot himself dead.
Jesus.
Live on the phone. The boy who did it, he was frozen. His boys now say, calm down, don't worry, you go, they're okay. They started giving him codeine to drink, started giving him weed to smoke. Now,
oh my goodness.
That person, can they have peace? They can't. That's why such people, they're always very angry when people come and spend their money without knowing what they went through to get it. So that's what the evil is. Forget about even what's anything written. You yourself will feel in your heart that this, because for some moments you actually reflect on the impact this has made on you. That's the loss. So the moment that person just seeing someone die because of you, that scar does not leave, actually. It doesn't leave. And you will carry that for the rest of one's life. Now, that's what the Bible says. God makes rich and doesn't add sorrow. That's the sorrow. You know, so you have money, but you have sorrow that the money doesn't even, it's not even worth anything anymore. And these are the things God is trying to save us from, because every law that God gives to us is for our own preservation. It's not for his ego. It's for us, because he knows what you will go through when you live life like that. There are many people who have made so much money, but you look at them so angry. In Lagos, you see people, they will come down from their very expensive cars, but they're just frowning. Why are you frowning? You are probably driving your dream car. You probably have your dream house, but why are you still sorrowful like this? Shouldn't you be happy? So he even tells them that it's not even money that makes a person happy. Because many people have their dream house, dream car, dream job. They even have the dream husband or wife based on their, you know, their own reasoning. But still sorrowful. So it talks about how there's something that is still missing. What is that thing that's missing, and how can it be acquired? So that's something that we need to really, you know, consider. When that's realized, then you know that even though this looks good to keep, but at what cost? At what price? What will I lose in the process of keeping it? Because the truth be told, in life, there's something called opportunity cost. Every opportunity will cost you something. You cannot, for example, even me sitting here, there's something that is being, no matter what, anything you do comes at a cost. But the question is, what is the cost? Because even following God comes at a cost. He says, come the cost. You understand? You get my point?
He does.
So anything you choose in life costs you something. But the question is, what is it costing you? There's some things that you should never give away at all. That should always be preserved. I had a story once of it, just quickly, so that I don't know if how much time, you know. A bit, one of these Bitcoin millionaires, you know, just some, you know, when Bitcoin blew up like 4 years ago, some people entered into millions. So one of these guys was like that. And he talked about how he made so much money. You know, he could get his family everything they wanted and everything, he was doing all that. But he missed the first 4 or 5 years of his daughter's life. And one day he just asked, like, so what's the point? He started even crying when he was talking about it. He said, what's the point of all? Because when he started making money, he started going around the world, you know, giving talks and everything. But he missed, like, he even missed his daughter. So he forgot the bird. He said that's when it hit him, like, actually, even though I might lose out on some millions, it's better that, because I didn't have money.
Yeah.
To lose my child's life and her process is, that's more expensive. Because in life, we need to know that money or value is not always money. How can I say it? Time is a commodity as well. Relationships are a commodity. And we need to start asking ourselves, what value, what is this relationship worth? What is my time worth? What is my body worth? Like, maybe sometimes we need to actually pause and actually put the appropriate value on certain things. Because sometimes we think that money is everything, but not always. Money has value, but there are other things that also have value. For example, you have countries that sell information. If a blog today sell information, they will come and they will say, oh, I have a picture of this person. How much are you willing to pay for it? Some people pay $500,000. To tell you that there are many things that have value beyond money. Someone needs to ask, am I you? Because let's say $100,000. Imagine someone tells you, I'll give you 100,000 naira for you to divorce your husband. Now think about it. In that moment, you're laughing because it's like, it's like, because in your mind, you have a value for 100,000. Mm-hmm. I have a value for your marriage.
Yeah.
And obviously you can see that this is worth more.
Yeah.
Assuming your marriage was worth less than 100,000, it would be appealing.
Mm.
So maybe we haven't actually ascribed the right value to a lot of things. Because that's the issue. We don't properly evaluate things. Even some of us at time, we don't evaluate it. Mm. Someone like Dangote now, you don't want to know how much he puts on his time. For you to even get into a room with him, how many of us can even, you know, get into, just even speaking from worldly point of view, because such person, their time is, they can drop $100,000 to save their time. I mean, for example, you don't have to be a business executive, but the reason why you hire drivers, cooks, gardeners is to save time. So I'm paying you X amount of money so that I don't have to spend my time cutting my grass, driving myself, because that time is more valuable, it can earn me more. So we need to put the right value on different things. I know that, my God, this thing I'm giving away, is it really cheaper than this thing that I'm collecting?
Well, you know, this person also mentioned that she has family members that were, you know, suffering and all of these things. So that one is there, you know. I think we even spoke about it when we're talking about anybody that loves father, mother, more than you.
Yes.
And it's also the, you know, assumption sometimes that we are gods to people. So instead of allowing God to, you know, reveal himself by taking care of those people, we now almost want to put ourselves in that, you know, situation. But it's like, if that person wasn't there, if you were dead, your family or your siblings will not die. God will find a way to take care of them. Life would, you know, work out, you know, on its own. So it's that whole idea that we are carrying so many people. But before we leave, I just want to ask one last question. And it is, okay, two actually. It is that, must change or coming to Christ, like us changing or making that choice for Christ, must it be so dramatic and painful? Like, that's the first one. I feel like every time people are sharing their, you know, testimonies, it's always like, ah, this thing happened to me, or like, you know, I want to follow God, but it's just looking like, if I want to follow God, I have to suffer. Must everything be so, you know, painful? And I think the second question is, have you ever felt tempted to go back to that lifestyle?
Very well. Just to say one thing to the last thing you said before this question, I'll say, and it's still good to have, you know, compassion, because there are real challenges, right, where your family is hungry and what to do. You know, I think everyone has to have that thing in their heart where they say, no matter what, it's not worth it. And where you know that, yes, I know that this issue is here, but it's not worth doing this. It's not worth it. It's actually better that we find a different way than to do this, which will cost us so much more and much more pain in the long run. Everyone's story is different. But you cannot enter anything. You can't join with anything without some kind of loss. It's like you're getting a new job and you still want to wake up at 12 p.m. You still want to use your time anyhow. Your time is no longer your own. Someone has paid for your time. Between the hours of, let's assume you have a 9-to-5 job. Between the hours of 9 to 5, you've been purchased, right? So it's going to cost you that. You can't gist with your husband or your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend the way you would. So maybe someone else, you just sit down in the morning, just do your hair like this and just be talking for like 2. You can't do that anymore because you have joined to something. And as much as that thing also has to consider you, you also have to consider that. So both people have to give up something in order to unite. And that's how it is for any relationship. So it's not just Christ, any relationship. You want to move to a new country, there are some things you must do away with because this country, they don't allow this, they don't allow that. You want to move to whatever. And of course, with God, it's just the same. There are some things, except you don't want to unite with Him. But in order to unite with Him, there are some things that can't fly because they are completely antagonistic to that union. It doesn't even allow it to happen. Because even God Himself, God is older than English, but He speaks English. He comes to us in, He can even use a movie to talk to us. Like He goes, there are a lot of things He also loses because He can say, you know what, I'm God. You know, this is the realm I live. You come and meet me here, and He could do that. But He comes down to our own realm. He loses a lot, actually. He restricts Himself. For Him to speak English, do you know how much restriction it is? English is even a new language. It's not even talking about even rich language. English is not rich. Yoruba is even richer than English, actually. Igbo, no, I'm dead serious. When you talk about languages and that have even spiritual understanding, English is one of the poorest, quite frankly. So imagine God having to use a language that is even so limited. For example, one Hebrew word, you need 4 English words to translate one Hebrew word to tell you how rich those words are. So imagine God even having to even speak that, even having to raise people just for you. All those kind, that's how far He goes in order to make sure that He reaches us. There's no how we also in our own path of united with Him, we won't lose anything. So whether it's dramatic or not, it's based on definition. But you cannot join with anyone without losing. Some people, in order to get a new job, you move away from your family, you travel from another country, travel to another state, you have to be doing a midnight call with your husband or wife. You know, it's true. So if you can do that for a job, why are we surprised that coming to God will not invite some changes, right? So that's just the way it is with every relationship. And if it's valuable to us, right, because a job is valuable to you, you do it. Right? And of course, you know, you get my point. And if your marriage is also valuable to you, if you have to wake up at 12 midnight to call your husband or wife, you will do it because it's valuable. And that's actually the question, is God really that valuable to you? Because anything that is of value will cost you. There's nothing valuable that doesn't come at a cost. Impossible. So that's a mindset we have to have. Acquiring anything that is valuable will always cost us something.
And have you ever felt tempted to go back to that lifestyle?
Yes. I mean, like, again, you know, temptations are an evidence of a desire that's still inside of you. But the issue is having control over those desires. And there are days when the desires are greater than others. You understand? And from time to time to come, you know, because life has its challenges. And again, the more you work with God, the less those desires become. In this time, it's very weak, if I'll say. Maybe on a very bad day, a thought like that will come, but it's not as strong as it used to be when I was fresh. That time, I can just open my phone. That's why God even made me delete my Instagram, delete my Snapchat, because, I mean, one day, I just made a mistake and watched one video of some of my friends. They just even flew into the car. I said, at that point, I began to contemplate. I said, God, let me... You know, thank God that day I didn't have clothes to wear. I think that's actually what stopped from going. That they were never clothes.
That's what I'm going to say. Just give out all those clothes. That thing that will help you in this walk, remove it.
Because if I had clothes, that day I would have gone. Because this is my friend. I've not seen him in a long time. And that party looked mad. So then it was very strong. In fact, maybe 5 months after that, one of my friends called me for dinner. And I just told myself, it's just dinner now, what, you know? And this was like a big brother to me and everything. So like, one of those people like, what is those bones? Let's kind of like, let me not be as if I'm, you know. So I just said, let me know, it's just dinner. What do you want to get there? He had imported like 10 girls from Italy, from South Africa. Everybody was, I said, now, wow. I sat down there. You know, that day, I didn't indulge in anything, but I didn't have strength to leave.
Fair enough.
You know, and I really beat myself up, but God helped me to process that moment better and move forward. Because I sat down there, even after the dinner, and let's all go to the club. I said, Shaka, get up and go. I had the ambition, I said, follow them to the club. When I got to the club, they were like, after party. And I knew that after party was just a sex party. That's just what it was. There were 3-4 guys, there were 10 girls. And of course, I knew what it was, but I still need to just even go there. I didn't have the strength to leave. For some reason, one of his boys that were there had issue with someone, they hit button, he said, well, everything else. Then two of the girls there started fighting somebody out before everything was scattered. The whole thing scattered. Nobody could ever. You know, so when I got home and I was beating myself, that God, so you mean if that thing didn't happen, I would have gone there. God told me that was my mercy.
Yeah. You know, that was the scripture that came to my mind, that God will create a way of escape.
A way of escape.
You know, and I think we usually fall into, oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I think one thing that God has been speaking to me more and more these days about is that we have to actually realize that we need the Holy Spirit.
We need the Holy Spirit.
Because when we, you know, rely so much on our own strength or our own flesh, that is when we actually fail. Yeah. So that whole, oh my goodness, how could I have done this, was really that I thought I was stronger than
exactly.
Instead of saying like, oh my goodness, I'm actually so weak, like I actually need the Holy Spirit to help me. So this person was asking like, why am I so weak? And it's like, you're so weak because you are weak. We are weak. We all need grace. And we all need the Holy Spirit to help us. And I feel like since I've had that, you know, consciousness and really just be humble enough to say, God, please strengthen me. Because I mean, if Jesus, your Jesus, like, you know, Joshua Selma will always say, like, knew he was going to die and spent all night praying. It's like, what do we think Jesus was praying for? He was praying for strength.
For strength, because that was an ordeal.
Yes, he was praying for strength. It wasn't just him saying like, oh, Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass. But like, he was praying for strength because he knew that if God doesn't help me, I can't do this. So I think that is just an encouragement to all of us, like on our Christian journey, to just remember to keep leaning on God, to keep praying, to keep trusting Him. And I just want to thank you so much, Oshaka, for sharing this story with us. I know that personally, I have been really, really touched by this story and just everything that you shared. It has just even given me more food for thought. I mean, these are things that we've like spoken about, but I feel like when we were talking about, we're more like laughing and just talking about the story. But I feel like now I'm really like, wow, like actually, you know, thank God for our journeys and how far He has brought us. And I'm really, really excited to continue to watch you grow and just see all the beautiful things that God is going to be doing in your life. So yeah, thank you so much, guys, for joining us on this particular episode of the Easy Like Sunday Morning podcast. I will see you in the next episode.
Cheers now.